Thank you, Martin. Thank you so much. Do take a seat. Great. Well, welcome. And a special welcome to anybody who's listening online, because I think quite a number of people may listen online to this later on as well. And a special welcome to you. And we want everybody who's listening online, especially those not able to be with us tonight because of weather, to just really want them to know that they are really loved. And I know that some people are disappointed to not be here tonight, but we want them to know that they are in our hearts and they are here in spirit. Again, it's good to see you. So do take your notes and so on, and do feast on the chocolate at the tables. Please don't, it's not there for temptation, it's there for actual eating. You can eat it. It's okay to eat chocolate in church. It's not against the teaching of the Bible. You can do that. So do enjoy that tonight. So we're going to do a quick recap on where we got to last week. And we talked about multiplying churches and multiplying leaders. And I was really excited, genuinely, last week. And kind of, for me, it was like a moment where for years we've been thinking about these things and praying into these things. Some of you may not know that, but actually that heart of grafting and our heart for St. Michael's has been something that's been on our hearts, it's on my heart really for quite a number of years. And we have amazing possibilities for planting the gospel. Do you remember we spoke, we're not talking just about planting churches, but planting the gospel into communities. And it starts with a graft, potentially, into St. Michael's, God willing, but doesn't end there. It is all about going forward into other places around Epping Forest or in the community where we see God at work. That's exciting. So we want to make space in the coming year for us to prepare to multiply, to plant and to grow. And we believe that even though as we send out people from St. Mary's, God will grow this place as well, because Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's important for us. We want to be encouraged. And I've certainly heard lots of testimonies from church planting leaders who talk about, you know, the sacrifice of really giving, just wonderful people actually leaving. And it's quite hard, but actually God amazingly provides, through just how good he is. God always provides for what we need. And I was really struck with the thought here that we cannot do this in our own strength. We must never ever think, oh well, you know, we're going to go ahead now and plant a church, or we're going to go ahead now and do this or do that in our own strength. Remember when the Israelites won the Battle of Jericho by supernatural warfare, really, by marching around the walls, and God won the victory for them. And then they got so super confident in their abilities that they went on to Ai, a small town. You can read the story in the book of Joshua. And they were absolutely tranced in Ai at the first attempt because they weren't listening to God. And although God has given us many resources, God's given us, really blessed us as a church, you know, we've seen a Hope Center be built over the last few years and so on. When we approach new challenges, we don't just do it in a way that we just think, well, that's fine, we're gonna do this, you know. We actually say, Lord, we're coming at this in humility and dependency on God. We can't do this in our own strength. It's so important that we don't go in the strength of our own resource, but that we really do trust in the Lord. And to know that this is not going to be easy. And it's important that we don't just put a gloss or a spin on this to make people think, oh, you know, we're just going to do this marvelous things and isn't it wonderful? It is wonderful, but it is also going to be potentially, possibly tough. It won't always be easy. And when God calls us to a great work, there's always sacrifice. There's always a cost in that work. And I never want anybody to think that we think it's just going to be a walk in the park, because actually, when God does an amazing work, it is costly, but it's wonderful at the same time. And that is something that's really important for us to take on board, because it means sacrifice. It means serving. It means surrender. And it can be hard, tough going to serve God. I often find that. I find that in ministry sometimes. It's hard going. We find that, don't we? It's a battle on. And the enemy does not want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to trust in God. He wants us to divert us, to distract us, to confuse us, to, you know, to discourage us, to frustrate us. And there's a massive spiritual battle over this region and over our church and our community. And the enemy is not going to surrender ground to us without a fight. So it is going to be a fight. It is going to be a spiritual battle. And but the good thing is that we don't wrestle in our own strength. We have the Lord. The Lord, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. The Lord is with us. Just as he was with those Israelites. And so we've got to keep leaning into him, listening to him, trusting him, depending on him, inquiring of the Lord, as it says in the Old Testament, a lovely phrase, really trusting in God and not being surprised when it can become difficult. But, you know, as Jesus really clearly taught, you know, don't be surprised when it's hard, because that's how it was for the Master, and so it shall be for us too. So we cannot do this in our own strength. We want to lean on Christ. We want to know God's presence with us in this. And that's the truth about our whole church vision. We can't do any of it. Can't take our next breath, to be honest, in our own strength. You know, it's all gift. It's all great. The grace of God to us. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. And I really feel like whether we're looking at our vision as a church for every person, every place saturated with God, whether we're looking at particular challenges and mission opportunities or different opportunities that are before us, the spiritual battle that we're engaged in and so on, it really does call us to be fully alive spiritually. And it called, you know, that scripture in Ephesians 5 that says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And one of my prayers for our opportunities that we have, hopefully in the next season before us, is that actually it will really help us as a church to awaken and to not slumber, to not... sometimes I think the biggest enemy in the church is just like indifference or taking a casual attitude to the things of God, or just being selfish and consumer-driven. I think these are some of the indifference, the casual, the selfishness. Those are some of the big challenges in the Western church today. We really want to look out for them, and we want to be alert and be alert. And the Bible says, watch and pray. Be alert, be awake. Wake up, O sleeper. And I think these things, when we're called upon to sacrifice, when we're called upon to trust God, when we're called upon to be on a mission, when we're called upon to seek the kingdom of God above all else, it wakes us up. And so it's easy to slumber as a Christian, isn't it? It's easy to sort of roll over, as it were, in bed and put the alarm off and, you know, and think, oh, you know, let me sleep on as a Christian. We don't want to be asleep, do we? May God enable us to be fully awake and awake spiritually. And I think catching God's heart here is really going to lead us. And the word here is the word wholeheartedness. And I keep saying this because I feel it's so important about God not expecting perfection from us, but he does want wholeheartedness from us. We make many mistakes, we get it wrong, but actually our hearts are for God. And as soon as when we fall, when we stumble, we get right back, because our hearts are like David's heart, a heart after God's heart. And if God looks in our heart and your heart, he may well see trying and failing. But actually, if the heart, God looks on the heart, not on the outward appearance. We don't want an outward appearance, church. Outwardly, you know, brilliant. But if the heart isn't right, you know, we don't want that. As Jesus said to the church in Revelation, you know, you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. We don't want to be just a church of a reputation. We want to be a church of reality and alive spiritually with a wholeheartedness. And that wholeheartedness also brings a wholeness as well when we catch God's heart. Because this is not, none of this is really about adding, my heart is that none of this adds any pressure on anybody. Because we all have in our world, there's tremendous things at work in our world that overwhelm us often. And a lot of people are really overwhelmed with work and life and family and many things in life that are knocking on the door, and things that are urgent, and life is full, isn't it? So this is not about adding 20 things, more things, burdening anybody. What it is really about is wholeheartedness and wholeness. When we catch God's heart, it's a healthy thing. It's not a pressure thing. It's an invitation thing. The kingdom of God is the best invitation we could ever get. But it is an invitation to suffer. It's an invitation to suffer with him, to go and die with him, to take up our cross daily and follow him. So that's just a recap. And some things I wanted to say just coming off the back of last week where I really believe that, God is at work among us. We're a growing church, but I want us to be a real church in the sense of not spinning or not glossing, but actually really taking on board the challenges and the encouragements together. And we spoke about that at the beginning of last week as well. We want to be encouraged, but we also want to be challenged at the same time. So looking at the next heading here, multiplying disciples. This is the third part. We spoke last week about multiplying churches and leaders. We spoke about the potential of the St. Michael's graft. We're waiting for and praying into Mark and Lydia's appointment there. And then by God's grace and with St. Michael's agreement, we can move into that grafting phase. And we spoke about that. And we also spoke about the leading together and wanting to encourage a culture where we really invest more in leadership. And God calling leaders. And sometimes I think people don't always recognize they're a leader. Sometimes people think leaders are people who say things from the front. But actually, we're all leaders in one way or another tonight. We all have that sphere of influence in our lives where we can influence people for the kingdom of God. And so we want to invest in that heart to bring about leaders who are alive in the kingdom, and that's what we spoke about last week. And then, so thirdly here, we're looking at multiplying disciples. And I suppose the take-home phrase here for us for next year would be that we're going to be focusing and investing less so in big events and more so in equipping us in the everyday and in the what we face and also what's happening here in our church life. So we need space to prepare to multiply so there won't be that central alpha course or Love Loughton in 2019, because we want to focus on equipping, releasing and supporting God's people for mission and ministry and for everyday life. Multiplying isn't just about whole churches or leaders. It's about you and me obeying the Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations so you can multiply. Personally, God calls all of us, go and make disciples. And that's the multiplication that he wants you personally to be involved in as well. And that will look completely different for all of us. But we want to see more people come to know Jesus. And that the heart of that multiplying is about mission and discipleship. And discipleship starts before someone becomes a Christian. Discipleship starts pre-conversion, if you like. So, if you just ask yourself this question: when did the disciples become Christians? Good question, isn't it? Actually, nobody really knows. When did the disciples become Christians? Jesus started. Was it when Jesus said, "Follow me," or was it when he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, or was it on the day of Pentecost or at the resurrection? Yes to all of them. I mean, I don't know when. Could have been any time, really. But we know that God was at work in their lives way back, even before Jesus called them. God was at work. And there are people in all of our spheres of influence that we are being called to disciple. And part of that discipleship is seeing them come out of death into life and into being Christian, and then going on from that as well into their Christian life. So we want to share some examples of mission and discipleship and how that is happening in our church, and some updates and different reports just briefly with you tonight as well. So I'm going to call some people up. I wonder if Heather, Mandy, Yvonne, Caroline, Philippe, Ruth and Lydia, would you come on up now? Come on straight on up, and you're going to hear some brief reports from people about where mission, come on straight, all the way up here with me. Don't linger down there in the in the wherever, we want to hear some reports from these amazing people about mission and discipleship that's going on in the community. I'm going to take them in the order that we've got them here. So I'm going to start by talking about Ignite, because Ignite has already been multiplying leaders. Ignite is our children and youth, and over the past year, Ignite hasn't adapted to change because we haven't been able to appoint a director. And we've been looking for what God has been saying throughout that journey for us. And one of the things we feel that while we struggle to recruit is that God is calling more people to participate, and many of those who already participate to really step up in and flourish in leadership and what God's calling them to do. Because the fact is, you know, we don't only need staff to lead ministry. It's about the whole ministry belongs to everybody, to the whole people of God. As John Wimber said, everybody gets to play in ministry. And he also said it's messy in the nursery. Sometimes it is messy with that, but I'd rather the mess of the nursery than the order of the graveyard. So, you know, it's okay if it's a bit messy. Ministry is messy. That's fine, as long as everybody gets to play. And that's what we want. And that's one of the things we're seeing with Ignite. God has been multiplying over this year leaders and raising up people who've already been serving in Ignite to lead in new ways, which I think is brilliant. And I'm really encouraged. And do pray for the appointment of the right person to lead that team. We've changed it from director to team leader so that we can really honor that team and raise that team up of 40 people or plus in this church. Isn't that amazing? There's 40 or so people in direct ministry with under 18s here at St. Mary's, and we want to invest in them and really equip them rather than just one person be the centerpiece of it all. And so do pray into that. The role of we want to catch that vision as a whole church for our children and our young people. They are extraordinarily important in this mission, in this vision of discipling and seeing our children and young people come to faith and love Jesus. So that's a massive part of it. So that's Ignite. And Heather, yeah. Epping Forest Food Bank.
Thank you. Sure. Evening, everybody. As you may recall, I like stories for those who heard my sermon about Mr. Happy. So I'm going to say a brief story. The prequel to that story actually started in 2011, and it's a story of seed. And we come forward to chapter 2013, where two churches, two food bank centres, one office, my living room, and one storage unit that could literally take no more than a ton of donations, and about 15 volunteers started Loughton Food Bank, as it was. Moving swiftly to chapter 2015, an increased demand saw an increase of donations, two storage areas, and a God-timed, one of those storage areas was the chap who was the manager of Barclays Bank next door, who just came and said, how can we help? So we were able to use a couple of spare rooms in the bank to store our donations, and financial giving increased. Chapter 2016, we had an opportunity to start a food in school holidays club called Fish in a new area of the district, providing families with fun, food, friendship, the food and feasting, and breaking isolation as we did that. And at that time, I got news of a different area of the district in Epping. Epping Churches Together had already been looking at starting their own food bank at the time that we started in 2013. And it was in 2016 that we actually brought together to plan to open and for them to come alongside us. So then we had three food bank centres open in chapter 2017. Again, an increase of people, an increase of those that were referring people, meaning that more people were coming, being referred, which meant presented more opportunities, an increase of opportunities to share the gospel. From there, coming into 2017, that continued. We were We've seen people come to faith. We've seen people start at Food Bank and then start coming to church as volunteers. And we've seen people saved who have been the recipients of Food Bank come to faith, which has been amazing. And then, of course, we're speeding along to 2018 chapter. And the story of Seed continues in that there had been a vision of, you know, literally God scattering seeds right across this whole district. And through a really generous financial donation, we were able to set up our fourth store in the Seed Bed Centre. And that's really a place for us now to bed down our roots and to spread. We've seen amazing doors open, lots of opportunities arising, lots of need, but I see that need as opportunities for us, for Christians, for people to come alongside others to share the gospel. And I'm really excited now, coming into 2018, as it says, becoming our own charity with dedicated trustees to really propel us forward and into those opportunities that God has provided. Thank you.
Wonderful. Let's give a round of applause. Thank you. Yeah, you can go and sit down. I love the story of Food Bank. To me is very like our story. It's so parallel because, you know, Food Bank started as Loughton Food Bank. Now it's Epping Forest Food Bank because of multiplication. It's a kingdom work that's gone on there. And so thank you, Heather. Mandy, come and tell us about Cafe.
Evening, everybody. Yeah, Cafe Hope has been running 11 years this year. We celebrated 10 years last year. And I've been here 7 this year. And it definitely has multiplied. And even within the last year or 6 months, you know, we're getting up to about 100 people a day coming through our door. And it's getting very, very busy. In fact, we're keeping an extra 2 tables up from tonight because we're expanding the cafe even more into the church, because today we had to get even extra tables out because it's just getting so full. So it's just amazing. I'm always speaking about my heart for Cafe Hope, and I decided yesterday for you guys to listen to some of the hearts of actual customers that come into Cafe Hope and what it means to them. So I went and asked just a few of our customers what they thought about Cafe Hope. Cafe Hope for me is a cheerful, welcoming place, which I must say brightens my days, plus they make an excellent coffee and tea cake. Long may it prosper, Bob. Cafe Hope is a very friendly place. The staff are always very sociable and helpful, and I will not go anywhere else for my morning coffee, Alan. Coming to Cafe Hope gives me happiness because the people are lovely and they make a good latte and prices are good, Pauline. Cafe Hope to me is a place of refreshment and friendship. Most of us come to this cafe and have our minds refreshed too, because there is always a face smiling and encouraging you. Not only tea and cakes, but lots and lots of love, Carol. Cafe Hope is a total gem of a place. It's a real saviour. There are not many places to take my little ones which feels as relaxed. The staff are lovely, helpful, and always so friendly. I would be lost without it. And for me, like when you hear even that, like that last one about saying it's a real saviour and I'd be lost without it, I mean, most of these guys are not Christians. They don't know Jesus. There's only so much we can do in Cafe Hope, volunteering, working when we're busy. We can show Jesus' heart and love, and that's hopefully what they do see. But we want them to go deeper. We want them to have a relationship with Jesus. We want to make Bob, we want to make Alan and Pauline and Carol and all the others that come near, we want to make them disciples of Jesus. And so my heart tonight, or my request, is a bit like what Lydia was saying about on Sunday, about being on that wall and being watchman for Cafe Hope. And, you know, Cafe Hope's not on everybody's hearts, but I'm sure people are on your hearts. And, you know, for you guys just to pray, or one prayer every day for not just these, but many, many more that come through this door to give their life to Jesus, and for us to have them conversations. And if anyone wants to come and be a listener in Cafe Hope and talk to people and share Jesus, you're welcome to, because like I said, we don't really get the time ourselves. Because it's definitely, definitely growing, and I think we're going to end up having tables down here. So can you imagine if it was filled up with everyone that knew Jesus every day of the week? Would be absolutely awesome. So prayers appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. Brilliant. That's really great. Yeah, and that is so true. We want people to find Jesus and grow in Jesus. And we want to love people in this community. Sometimes I think of Cafe Hope as it being like the woman at, when Jesus met the woman at the well. And he asked for a drink. And then the whole time was changed because of that request for a drink. You know, that's what we, as people come in here and ask for a drink, you know, that it would be like that the well conversation would come about and we'd see people come to know Christ through Cafe Hope. Yvonne, come and, we love little lambs. Come and tell us about little lambs.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to say something about Cafe Hope before I start on the little lambs bit. My father had a stroke about 5 or 6 years ago, and both my parents used to come to the cafe. And when my father had his stroke, he was really quite debilitated. And I personally would just like to say to Cafe Hope and Hugh that my father would never have got out of that car unless both of them had come out and got him in. And it's just been... My father is not... Well, he was a Christian, but he's sort of... He's a lapsed Christian. But my mother goes to St. Mary's Chigwell. And he really, every time he comes in here, I just feel he's getting that little bit of warmth and he loves it. He, as Mandy said, everybody is lovely. And both my parents love everybody. So thank you. Right, go back to my little lambs bit. Had to write this down, otherwise I'm going to forget it. Delphine apologises for not being here, but she's written a little bit here. So over the last 10 years, we've had approximately 200 families come through our little lambs doors, and that's about 250 to 300 children. That's with siblings and things. A lot of the parents have sent their children, you know, sent their second children back, so we feel really blessed with that they felt the love and the warmth. We've got a variety of people that we can share the love of Jesus with. We've got the staff. Not all of our staff are Christians. All the parents, godparents, grandparents, extended families, childminders. We try every day to share that love of Jesus with them. And we're positive all the time. We have had positive comments set back the other way. New people coming to have a look for a preschool have said, oh, we want to send our child to a Christian nursery because we know Christians look after children. I mean, what can you say? It's just, that makes you feel so warm. It's lovely. Every morning I stand at the top of the stairs and greet the parents and the children on arrival. And a lot of the conversations lead to information from the parents. Quite often I say to them, shall we pray about that? Nobody ever says no. And I can find myself lost in prayer at the top of the stairs, not sort of paying attention to the next batch of parents walking up. But that's what we're there for. The children, they do a prayer every morning. We sing grace when we have snack and we have lunchtime. We perform proper nativity plays. None of this end of term assembly business and Christmas concerts. I don't be doing all that. We include Jesus in conversation. His Bible stories are always on our bookshelves. And more recently, we've started focusing on Christian books as books of the week. So that's, you know, it keeps it far more there for the children. Delphine wrote this. You probably know one of the children when I start explaining to you. Child A doesn't know Jesus, but Child B knows Jesus. When the children were in the garden, Child A, the one that doesn't know Jesus, was banging on the outside door of the prayer room. So Delphine said, please don't bang on the door. She said, there's people inside praying to Jesus. So Child A said, is Jesus in there? Delphine said, Jesus is everywhere. Child B said, yes, he's everywhere. He's even in my tummy. Child A then said, I want to go in there. Can I go in there and see Jesus? And then Child B said, you can't really see him. And then Delphine obviously tried to explain that Jesus is everywhere. And that's one of the things that we said that we want prayer for, because sometimes a child will say something to you and you think, oh, how do you answer that one? There are areas that are tricky. You know, we can't mention Jesus. Ofsted. early years advisors, although our Senko, our special educational need coordinator, bless her, she is a Christian, so we often pray when she comes in, and we pray about particular things that we're worried about with the child together. You know, it's really good that we've got her. Prayers for parents, for bereavements. We've lost three parents of our little tots, and that's a struggle. We've also lost a couple of other grandparents that were particularly connected to us. But we've been really blessed with everything that we've been given, equipment, prayers, the beautiful space that we have for our children. And it's just so effective in the fact that they feel loved when they walk through that front door. And what more can you say? Jesus is everywhere, you know, in every corner of Little Lambs.
That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you. I think, isn't that gentle, beautiful, pastoral discipleship? That is wonderful. That is really inspiring. Thank you, Yvonne, for sharing about that. Caroline, tell us about Living Hope.
Yeah, great. So Living Hope, our strapline is loving our local and global neighbour, and it encompasses all the things that we do with that. So last year was our first full year as Living Hope, and we had a few new projects start, which was Lunch Club and Hope Supper, and it's been really fantastic to see them really establish. You know, Monday mornings with Lunch Club, we just love it, don't we, Maggie? You know, it's great. Welcoming people in, there's a real community there now, and it's been great to see them really soften to the Lord, to the gospel. They love coming to church, but we keep saying to them, it's not church, it's God. So please pray with us that they would understand that Jesus is the living hope. We also launched Eco Church last year in October, and Peter Blake is leading that, and that's really exciting and moving forward. And we just want to keep, in all of our projects, we want to keep pushing in to loving these people well. And we are in relationship with lots and lots of people, which is really exciting. And we do just keep praying them to know Jesus. And we'd also just love to see more people involved. There's so many opportunities for people to get stuck in. So, you'll see notices coming into the notice sheet soon about what that's going to be. But, pray with us for the people that we meet.
Thank you. Yeah, and actually, along with Eppingford's Food Bank, the stuff with Living Hope, it's so important that within mission and evangelism, community ministry, justice issues, and so on, it's all at the heart of what's going on with our mission and our evangelism and our discipling and multiplying as well. I wanted to say there's something about wholeness here and next in the sheet, and we're going to be we're building really a wholeness team over this time, and that particularly is looking at pastoral care and issues of wholeness, mental health, and freedom in our discipleship and Christian lives. We want to focus quite a lot of attention in 2019 on prayer ministry. And prayer ministry is something that's been going for years here, but we would love to have a revitalization of prayer ministry in St. Mary's, where all of us need prayer ministry. We all need it. It's not something where, you know, if you're particularly in a tough spot, then you need prayer ministry. We all need prayer ministry a lot anyway, and praying for one another is absolutely key. So we'd love to revitalize that and refresh that prayer ministry over this year. We would love to help communicate better about how pastoral care works in the life of our church. It's so important that we love. That's come through so many of these things. Mission and discipleship isn't all just about giving Bible verses to people. It's about really loving people really well and authentically and truly. And so the pastoral care is very discipling. It's very focused on mission We're building up, want to build a pastoral team, and if you've got that heart, we'd love to talk with you. There is actually a pastor's meeting in the church here 3 times a week, where we're able to kind of just make sure that people in the congregation are receiving the care that they need. And also we're looking to increase training for things like mental health, first aid, and other types of training. There's a couple of events as well in February, and on everybody's got an event for the Will Vanderhart event on your table there about overcoming shame. And also Charlie Cleverly from Oxford is going to be coming in October to speak to us about emotionally healthy spirituality and prayer. And so we want to engage. We really want to grow that culture of vulnerability and care and hope here in our church family. To be a real family, that's what you need. Otherwise, it's kind of all plastic Christianity, which we don't want. We want it to be more real than that. So that pastoral care, that wholeness and healing and the counseling and prayer ministry and all that's all part of loving the whole person and discipling people into the kingdom and in the kingdom. So Carolyn was going to be here tonight because Carolyn leads our missions work, but she's not well. So I'm going to just briefly introduce Philippe, because we, just before you come up, Philippe, the global missions work that we do here at St. Mary's, led by Carolyn, focuses mainly on the work of Tear Fund, Open Doors, Epping's Forest Food Bank, and the Bible Society. But we have many mission partners, which you can visit on the website, because the ministry of making disciples is not just for Epping Forest, it's for the nations. We must have the nations in our hearts, because it's a global church we're part of, and a global Great Commission that we're in. So we want to be more and more directed towards the nations. So we're hoping that we're kind of exploring at the moment with one mission agency the potential of a team in 2020. We're actually kind of exploring the possibility. It's not decided yet. We might kind of take our whole family on mission and invite lots of other people to come on with us. But we're still looking into that at the moment. Not confirmed at the moment, but there's possibilities, because we'd love to take more people overseas. I know Philippe would love to take more people overseas, wouldn't you, Philippe?
All the time.
In fact, Lucy walked into the church the other day and he said, "You're coming to Brazil, aren't you?" I was like, "I don't know anything about that." Anyway, it's great. Philippe is going to be our newest mission partner in 2019. Come on over here, Philippe. Let's give him a big round of applause. And Philippe has for many years carried a tremendous burning heart for mission and global mission. So tell us what that multiplying and that mission means for you, Philippe, and what you're doing.
It's not my idea, by the way. Malcolm called me 2 months ago, and as we sat down, he said to me, the church leaders have decided to take you on as a mission partner of a church, and I was quite shocked. And I changed the conversation very quickly. I had a very, very bad toothache, and he had a bad toothache, so we started talking about teeth. But having shared with some people, they all said to me, it's the right thing. And so we expect this is going to be good for St. Mary's, but also for the work that I do. Most of you know what I, you know, if you've been in this church for some time, you will probably have heard me talk about missions. And so I represent a Brazilian movement, one of the largest and biggest mission movement in Brazil. And we work in nations where the gospel is not very present, let's put it that way. And so we work in places like Indonesia, India, and also we have a team in one of the most difficult countries on earth. If you want to know which country it is, talk to Malcolm, let him show you the book that he showed on Sunday morning, and you look at number one, and that's where we are. And so we have a team there which we are very concerned about, because obviously it's not easy to be a Christian in that place, and they don't have access to communication, because they don't have the ability to have access to the internet or even have a phone when they are living there. I was thinking, what else can I say, really? Because some of you have heard things before. But I think with Ruth especially, and me having done missions for some time, the children that we talk about a lot, who are training to become Bible translators, are actually coming our way. So in September, 5 of them are coming to Europe to do training with SIL, which is the Wycliffe arm of the Institute of Linguistics. So they're going to Madrid, and then after that they're coming somewhere in England or Wales or Scotland or Northern Ireland to finish their English. So these guys are coming over, and I'm very excited because they're amazing kids. These are the kids that read the Bible at least 3 times a year. The other thing that we do, which is mainly a ministry that Ruth and I do as a couple together, is the love festivals that we have done. So you know, if you know me, you know we have done 3 of them. This last year we did Love, Cachoeira do Macaco, all of them in Brazil, which basically we go to a community of churches, get them to talk together, pray together, and then reach the community together. It's basically Love Loughton, but 14 Love Loughtons, one after the other, is what happens. And this year, for a first, we're going to do Love Catalonia in Spain. You might think, why Spain? Do you know there are 10 million people in Spain? If they want to go to an evangelical church, there is none to be found where they live. 10 million people do not have access to a church like St. Mary's. Or even if a church is have 5 people, that doesn't even exist. And I hope that some of you will come with us this year, because we're having teams mainly from Brazil, but also teams from around the world helping, serving the local churches in the Barcelona area. You don't have to speak Spanish, but if you do know some Spanish, that would be great. I just want to finish by saying, my heart and my passion is God. That's what I go for. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm going for. I'm going for God. But my mission, to phrase it in a different way, is to call nations to worship. That's my mission. And the best way to call nations to worship is to do mission. No mission, no worship. So for missions to happen, for worship to happen, these guys need to be reached. And that's why mission is vital in my life. And Malcolm mentioned this verse that we talked very quickly about, making disciples of all the nations and so on. When was the last time you thought about that? I think about making disciples of all nations almost every day of my life. How do we and how do you make disciples of all nations? Please think about it.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Philippe. Thank you. And you come. Let's. So Lydia and Ruth are going to talk about life groups. Well done. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Malcolm. Currently I oversee life groups and been doing so for 2 years now. I took it over from Sam, and currently we are going to be passing on the baton as such to Ruth in Easter time, but we're going to be sort of running together for a while, and that's mainly because in life groups at the moment we're praying and looking at a sort of a renewed vision of life groups, of what does it really look like to live out these vision and values that we have. And part of that is the saturated course that is going to be coming, and we're going to be looking at what does it really look like to be saturated with God, and so not just like sort of pie in the sky ideas, but real practices. What does it look like to live this out as a community together? So we're currently sort of all 3 of us, and us 2 in particular, are looking at renewing that vision of life groups. As an overseer of life groups, I suppose I would say it's very low control over the leaders, but a high accountability, so I do like to know what's going on. But our Heart for Life group isn't to sit in an office and dictate to everyone of like, this is what you must do, this is who you must have in your group. So because we really want to see God grow and flourish these life groups as we journey life with one another and sharpen one another, rub up and down, grate on each other. Sometimes that's the best way we grow with one another. So we're currently renewing that vision, and we'll be hopefully sharing that soon. But I'm going to pass over to Ruth for her to share her heart.
Thank you. Yes, it's a little bit scary. Last week we heard about stepping out, joining Mark and Lydia, God willing, in St. Michael's, or stepping up, and this seems to be my stepping up. So, I'm stepping into it, but my heart is for life groups, is for small groups within the church, because I believe, in my experience, these values, we do a lot of encountering God on a Sunday morning, and that's great, but if you want to be discipled, and Malcolm's already spoken a lot about discipleship, within the church, once you're a believer, most of our discipleship, our sharing of Jesus, our loving deeply and our living for the kingdom, we sharpen each other in small groups, and we sharpen each other when we are alongside each other. And so the groups don't need to look the same. And as Lydia's already said, the life groups in St. Mary's are very different. Some meet in the daytime, some have families, some have people at different stages in life. And that's great, because they're meeting those needs. That's great, so long as all these things are happening and we are encountering God and sharing Jesus and living for the kingdom. And so I just want to encourage anybody that's not in a life group and wants to be, to speak to one of us, and we'll see if we can find somewhere for you. There's also the Leading Together course coming up. And it's been such a privilege leading my life group with Philippe and watching people move from just finding out about Jesus to becoming true disciples. And it's such a privilege watching that growth take place, and then watching them begin to lead as well. We can, you know, quite often we'll say to somebody, can you lead the study next week or next time we meet? And that's great, because that's where we learn to grow and learn to lead as well within those groups. So if you have the feeling that God is calling you to lead, then there's the course. And again, come and speak to us. There's always room for new life groups to spring up. And, you know, God willing, when revival comes, we're going to need many more leaders, many more groups. So that's my heart. It's just to see it multiply and just to be able to encourage the leaders we've got. And for the leaders that we have of the groups to also be able to relate to one another. And as I've been praying about it, the model of Paul, Barnabas and Timothy, we all need Pauls in our life. And we've all got, you know, Malcolm and the leaders that we can look up to and receive really good teaching from. And within our life groups, hopefully we've got Barnabases, people that are encouraging us, that are a similar level, but see things from the Bible, see a word and can come alongside, and wherever you're at, you need encouraging, and that's great. And we should all be sowing into Timothy's, those people that we're discipling. But Timothy became a leader, and that's what we want. We want the Timothys to grow up and become leaders. And so wherever you're at, Timothy, Barnabas, or Paul, within that, hopefully we're all got Pauls and we've all got Timothys if we're doing it, and life groups is a really good place to do that. And so I just hope to be able to come alongside the other life group leaders and be that Barnabas and encourage them.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, brilliant. Thank you so much. That's really good. Oh, there's a lot there, isn't there? Is anybody need digestion of all that information? That's a huge amount of encouragement and lots to dwell on. And one of the things I would also love to see is life groups actually multiplying as well. You know, whole life groups multiplying just like churches do. There's something there about evangelism training that we're going to be doing this year in two dates. Actually, the second date should be the 2nd of October, not the 17th of September. And we're also working on a just so you know, we're trying to do some work through PCC and Standing Committee on an integrated strategy for us as a church that helps actually relate the vision to actually some of these ministries and really more strategic. Sometimes we can be not so strategic, so I think that some of that could be really helpful. It says here, everyone has a part. Everyone has a part in multiplying churches, leaders, and disciples. And there's characteristics there of people, as we're a resource church, and these characteristics, whether we're conscious of our need for the Holy Spirit, we're praying and listening to God, where there's a genuine desire to love one another. And actually, can I say that I think the piece on here on growing deeper friendships is really important in a church, and it's actually part of discipleship, and it's part of this multiplying, but it's friendship, and really investing in friendships is so important, and that's important to hear. A willingness to sacrifice, serve, and even suffer. I heard of a church recently that has actually put suffering as one of its values. Isn't that remarkable? Because it's there in the New Testament. If we read our Bibles, we'll see that actually that is core there. Actually, the real, when we serve, when we sacrifice, it can well be tough journey, but it leads us to maturity. And Jesus never ever said it would be easy. So we develop partnerships, and we look for kingdom opportunities. We are encouraging and training leaders. And actually, this thing about risks are taken. We sometimes fail, but we get back up again and keep going. So it would be great to, you know, see us as a place where we take risks, we experiment, and see what happens. And we are not, there's no shame in outward, you know, the world talks about failing. Well, that's okay. Failing is success, as I see it, because you've stepped out in faith, and get back up again and see what happens is great. So, I'd love us to do some, we need to do some discussion. We need to do some talking about all of this, because we've heard quite a lot tonight. So let's take some time together. Take 5 minutes or so just around your tables and discuss. I've got a slide here. Here we go. I can't actually read that, but I'm sure you can. I can't read it from here, but it's basically to discuss what your response is to this multiplying churches and leaders and disciples. And then when we've had some discussion around tables, I'll probably go around with the mic and just get some comments and questions and reflections from that as well. And if you've got questions, Mark and Lydia can come on up as well if anybody has questions about the St. Michael's graft, or any questions about the leading together or discipling, any of those things. So do you want to go into groups, and then we're going to do some discussion, and then after that we're going to pray. Is that okay? Let's just take some time, and it's quite an open, I'm not asking specific questions. It's just your reflections, your comments, and your questions over the whole 2 evenings so far. I wonder if we could draw these conversations to a close. I'm sure that there's much more we could say. Caroline is going to come round with a microphone, because we'd all like to hear any comments or questions or anything like that. And I'm just realizing we don't have another microphone for you guys to speak to, but... Sorry? No, we don't have another microphone. oh, yeah. Do you want to come up and can we use this one, Matt? Thank you for Mark and Lydia. So can we just go around? Caroline, do you want to wander around? And if you would have a comment or a question or a reflection, please, as Caroline's coming around, just grab the mic. There's lots of conversations going on. Go for it. Anybody? Does anybody want to raise a hand with any comment or question?
Thank you. Unaccompanied, unaccustomed as I am to public speaking. It says here, a couple of the main points we just touched on was all of the activities here and everything you're talking about is about overcoming fear. Mm-hmm. And we touched on that, and we referenced Jesus walking alongside the boat and stepping out of the boat. And whatever avenue you're being called into, and all these things we've heard about this evening, mm-hmm. I think it's important that it's not just up to somebody else to step out of the boat.
Yeah.
We are all capable of stepping out.
That's right.
That just requires a bit of confidence, encouragement, and a secure knowledge with the family you're in.
Yeah.
And I just touched on the fact of, you've mentioned training in various areas, and I think that is really key and really important, that some training is offered in whatever area to enable people to grow in that confidence and to have that courage to step out of the boat.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Morris. That's really helpful. Really helpful.
Malcolm, at the beginning of this evening, you were saying you weren't quite sure when the disciples became Christians, and that reminded two of us on this table of something that Bishop Peter said at a meeting when asked the same question. And he said, how long does it take to pickle an onion? When do you know it's pickled? And that's quite a useful picture. So we drew an onion and then realized that an onion was multi-layered.
Yeah.
And that was spoke to us about multiplying. So yeah. We thought an onion would be a very good symbol for 2019.
Yeah. Thanks, Hugh. That's great.
And more specifically,
we
wondered what our relationship with St. Michael's was going to look like. So I'm sure these two lovely people can tell us in a second. One more thing. Do we know our spiritual gifts? And we came to the conclusion that probably everybody could come up with something if they were put on the spot. Mm. But knowing what you think are your spiritual gifts and trying to find out what God has given you a little different. So we wondered whether as part of our equipping we might be able to investigate that further.
That's good. Thank you, Hugh. Do you want to talk to the St. Michael's?
So the relationship with St. Michael's beyond the graft, yes? Or is that what you're asking? Yeah, okay. So our view is to graft, which we spoke about last week, and that's for people to be sent with us, not to just go and remain there for a little while and then once it looks quite good to fly back to St. Mary's for a top-up or something, but to be adopted in to St. Michael's, so when you come there, you become St. Michael's into that family. The support would look like, in the beginning, people, so the resources, the people coming with us, financially as well. I think the PCC have been speaking around this, about some money will come with us as well. And then beyond that, it's not that we're coming back into a St. Mary's and St. Michael's that we're going to share everything and then Malcolm's going to be there one week. And it's not going to look like that. It's going to look like that once the people are there, they're released to go and be fully St. Michael's. But there will be a relationship still going on amongst the team, resourcing one another as well, that we would love to see St. Michael's resource St. Mary's sometimes as well with some things. So there might be some shared ground on some things, like, I don't know, like sort of particularly youth work. There might be, the youth might join together on some things, potentially. We don't know until we're there. It might look like we might have some encounter nights together or like that, but we're not going to, it's not going to be like forevermore attached to St. Mary's, and we've got to look to St. Mary's before we do anything or anything. It's going to be very much, once we're there, that, like, you want to see St. Michael's go and do what St. Michael's been made to do, but that relationship will be there. Does that explain it?
I think it's really good to also say that the heart behind the initial, say, 6 months would be to love and serve. And so there won't be a big plan. It'll be to love and serve and see what God's doing, won't it? So any other comments around the room, questions?
Well, we were discussing the new people that have come to the church recently and realized that there are so many of you, which is really exciting. And also we feel that maybe a lot of the people that are coming, especially over Christmas, there were so many different people there. And a lot of them are Christians already. They're not just wanting to, well, perhaps some are wanting to find out, but we feel that God is gathering his people together, his people who know you, who are already saved or already sort of perhaps stronger Christians, because they're gathering together for this wonderful, you know, planting, groove, grafting, or whatever we're going to do, and that God is wanting experienced people. And so that, yes, we do need to have people coming in, like to the cafe and to all those other things we've mentioned, but the main body is that God is building up his believers in this place so that then we can move out
together. Thank you, Maggie. It's really helpful. Good observation. Over here we got one.
Can I just ask you a bit about your vision for planting beyond this?
Right.
I mean, I come from, obviously, a disestablished church background. I come from Restore, and planting was always part of Restore, and that's really easy because, you know, we're off the wall. And but clearly, in an Anglican setting, planting churches is not quite as straightforward. So I'm just interested as to what your heart is for it, and what is the process, and what are there any restrictions on you planting?
Thank you for that. So basically, that's part of what I mean when I'm saying we develop partnerships and look for kingdom opportunities. So we work really well. We want to foster good relationships with our archdeacon, bishop, area dean, and so on. And actually, all of them, our diocese, are really supportive for church planting. There's finance available in the Church of England for church planting. So it may be quite helpful to know that the Church of England is not against church planting, that we really are very pro-church planting, even with the parish system. And that anything is possible when you've got the bishop saying, go for it, you know. So there's lots of creative, fresh expressions. There's lots of pioneer ways of doing it. And really what we need to do, we haven't got a agenda. It's basically first stop, God willing, will be this graft. And then secondly, beyond that, we will just be listening to God. And I would really love to do that with others. So it's not something top down. It's together we discern what God's calling us to. So it may be I don't know is the answer, because we need to pray. We need to ask God. We may plant again quickly. We may take years to plant again. We don't know. But the structures are there to do it. And actually the structures are pro what's going on. Yeah. One or two more. Anyone else?
As a table, we had a real sense of excitement. Mm. It was the first thing that sort of came up as soon as we sat around and spoke to each other. We were excited. And then we were reflecting a little bit on some of our frustrations. But in that, we was discussing Cafe Hope and the various groups and what was going on, and talking about the numbers of people increasing. Although we're not necessarily seeing the numbers of Christians within those groups increasing, we're seeing the number of people we're reaching increasing through Food Bank, Cafe Hope, and other things, and now the church plant. And it just seems that we're sowing. It just felt a real sense of we're sowing and we're sowing and we're sowing. And what comes after a sowing is germination and then the harvest. So we got very excited.
Brilliant.
In our group about that. So
thank you.
It's good stuff.
Thank you, Colin. Really good. One more. One more.
Yes, last week you was talking about taking a few people with you, up to about 10. Mm. How are you going to choose or appoint or
great question.
Volunteer those people?
Yeah. Whoever comes with the biggest bar of chocolate. No, this is something we've talked about a lot. With Malcolm as well as just the two of us, we feel that we
don't want to force anybody, and neither do we want to manipulate anything into whom we think is best, because God knows better than we do. So for us, we are trying to have low control over it, but praying deeply into it. We are doing a different kind of a fast for ourselves. We're not fasting food, we're fasting sleep. which is so much tougher. And basically, we're getting up early and we're praying every morning for St. Michael's, for the graft, for God to speak into the people from St. Mary's. Who should be coming along, that God would reveal that to him. So for us, we're very much relying on God to reveal first and foremost. And then if God, for those who think God is saying something, then we would love to have a conversation and develop that and talk through that. And that's sort of our approach.
Yeah, I think what we're praying for people who sense they might be coming is not that always next big adventure or anything like that, but just that there's a sort of sense that God is calling them to St. Michael's, but a sort of a love for that community as well, because we see that whole community wanting to set them on fire for the love of Jesus. So that sort of that burning, I suppose, that heaviness of that call to go and love, because it might be tough and we might not see anything for a while, but that sort of love. So yeah, we want to encourage people to come and speak to us, speak to Malcolm. It's not going to be like people get picked or anything like that, of like, ooh, they're quite gifted. It's not going to be like that, or like, oh, what do you earn? It's not, no, joking. It's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be God called you to come, and we would love to hear from you and discern with you of what that looks like. And we were discussing earlier today, Malcolm and I, is just to encourage people as well that to, even if you feel God's calling you, then you're like, oh no, but that really leaves St. Mary's in the lurch, or still come and discuss that with us, and we'd love to discern that with you.
Thank you. And probably practically the next step on that would be that after an appointment, God willing, in the end of February, there'll be a meeting called. The whole church will know about a meeting in March at some point, where anyone interested or exploring their calling would go to that meeting, and then it would all be explained from there. Okay, so it'll be an open process of discernment. Yep. Thank you. Can we just pray for it? Let's just pray for a few moments, and perhaps you could just pray with those around us. We don't need to, you know, if you can do that, can you do that just in twos or threes? Just turn to the people next to you. And we've also put on your tables, we've put some paper and a pen, and if you feel like you've got a prophetic word or some kind of word that's on your heart about any of this, particularly prophetic anything, please write it down. And if you don't get enough time now, you stay after and write that word down, because we would love to hear what we've sensed God is saying. So we're going to have a few minutes of prayer now together, so just pray with those around about you. Is that all right? So go for it. We would be a multiplying discipleship church. We pray, Father, that you would put that passion in us. We pray, Father, that in our weakness, that you would make us in your strength, Lord, strong in your strength, not in our own. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us the passion to grow and to multiply, to make disciples. And we thank you, Father. Thank you for every ministry we've heard about tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just all that's going on. It's amazing to see how your kingdom is advancing all around this community of Epping Forest. Thank you for all the other churches, Lord, who are also reaching out and doing amazing work. And we just pray, Father, that we, as one, we would go forward in this coming year. So we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've got 10 minutes, and I want to do something. Obviously, if you look in your manuals, you'll see that I've put some reflections on Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10 that are kind of Bible reflections on multiplying. And this is a different way of, just for a few minutes, of speaking about multiplying, because we're not going to focus on one verse, but just do a really quick overview here, because actually the message here is in the overview. It's not in one text. It's really in the spread that we see here from Luke chapter 9 through chapter 10. And there's different themes, and I've kind of put in boxes in the notes some of the themes that come through from the sections, and it's not a complete printout of Luke 9 and 10. It is, it's a few verses highlighted and picked out. But just to do that really briefly now, it says when, you know, there's that sense of calling, and that's what we spoke about earlier in terms of being called. This isn't just a good idea. We want to sense God's call on us. When Jesus had called the 12 together, it says he gave them power and authority, and we've got that power and authority to go out and to do this. We're not just doing it in our own strength. It's God's power and God's authority. And we go out with them kingdom mission to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And that's what we would love to see more of. And the brilliant thing here is this message of dependence. He says, take nothing for the journey. And actually here in the Bible, we're getting laid out for us how to multiply. Depend on God. Take nothing for the journey. And then get on with it. So they set off. They set out from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. I love those little sentences in the Bible where they just do what they're told by Jesus. That's how it should be in our discipleship. Do what Jesus says. Then we move on, and in the passage, Jesus feeds the 5,000, which is a story of multiplication in itself. Peter declared Jesus is the Messiah. We get this lovely sentence here. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. That's what I mean by it's not a comfortable thing to multiply. And remember last week we spoke about how Jesus said the way to multiplication is to die to self. It's not a program. It's actually dying to self. Jesus died, and out of his death has come this whole kingdom of God. And it's the same for us. We take up, we deny ourselves. That's the way to multiply. Deny ourselves, take up our cross. Then we move on, and we see here, it's great, isn't it? An argument started among the disciples to which one of them would be the greatest. So I think what we see here is we need humility as we do this. This isn't about who's got the, as Lydia just said, it's not about favorites or anything like that. The people who go to St. Michael's, God willing, are just the people God's called. We're all called, but God will put his hand on some people to go. It's not about who's the greatest or who's the most gifted or anything like that. That's what Jesus is saying not to do, because Jesus takes a little child among them and says, this is what it's about. It's not about status. It's not about anything like that. It's about dependency and childlikeness. And I love the bottom bit there in verse 50, when the disciples are saying, you know, someone else is doing something over there, and Jesus says, do not stop him. So there's no control. Jesus is not trying to control or manipulate anybody. Neither in this multiplying would we. We're wanting to see what God's doing and join in, not come with our agenda. It's interesting in the next section where Jesus turned and rebuked them because they were wanting to call fire down on people. They got it badly wrong, these disciples, sometimes, and so do we. We get it wrong, but amazingly, God uses us. Isn't that wonderful? Those disciples who wanted to judge and call fire down, Jesus rebuked them. Sometimes we all need a bit of a rebuke and a bit of correction, and that can happen. But we get it wrong, but God still uses us. Here's a lovely, not lovely, but powerful statement here where under the cost of following Jesus, it says the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. There is a cost. This is Jesus' mission was uncomfortable. It interfered with comfort. It's not. It could be tough. Don't expect it to be comfortable. Jesus said in verse 62, he said, no one puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's quite full on. And what we would say when we're thinking about this is that's wholeheartedness that we spoke about earlier. No one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We want to go for it. We don't do it perfectly, but we do it wholeheartedly. Whether we're grafting, planting, staying, serving, stepping up into new areas of ministry, as many of us will, let's do it with wholeheartedness. And then I love this in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus says, after this. So after rebuking them because they had mucked up and wanted to judge people, after they'd argued about who was the greatest and so on and so forth, and kind of wanted more comfort. You know, it's after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them. So if that was me, after having the disciples having messed up, probably most of us would have thought, right, okay, disciples, you need to come back for like 10 weeks of teaching to know how to do it properly, because you shouldn't be calling them. That's a bad disciples. Don't call down fire on people. There's probably a course for that. You can go on. But surprisingly, Jesus doesn't do that. What does he do? He sends even more of them out. So it doesn't stop with the 12. It then goes on to 72. And it's because Jesus' passion for the harvest, like Philippe was talking about, his passion for the nations. Jesus wasn't after perfection. He was after the harvest. He wanted people out. And it says there, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so Jesus, from this whole passage, Luke 9, and all the way through to 11, because it's in Luke 11 we get the Lord's Prayer. And they only do the prayer course once they've done mission with Jesus in Luke chapter 11. It's not all finding out, you know, learning first, cerebral learning, and then let's go. It's all mixed up and mixed in. So Jesus so highly values the harvest that he sends people out into the mission field. And again, we get this message of dependency. He says in verse 4, chapter 10, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Depend on God. We really, really want to depend on God without an agenda or something preconceived. And look where it says, do not greet anyone on the road. That's a bit unfriendly, isn't it? But what that's about is urgency. This is really urgent. Don't stop. You know, urgency. So important. But the wonderful thing here is, do you know what it says there in verse 17? The 72 returned with joy. It was a good mission. They were not. Now, you'd have thought, after having been rebuked, after having know where to place your head, after having been told when you basically be wholehearted, after sending loads of people out on mission and being told not to take anything with you, you'd have thought you'd get a right bunch of grumpy disciples who feel hard done by a pretty tough mission assignment that Jesus has given them. But actually, you see, the 72 returned with joy. It is hard, but it is also joyful. I don't want to get the wrong balance here, because it's joyful. This is wonderful to serve Jesus in this way. Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I would love that to happen in Loudoun. Satan's kingdom, go. God's kingdom, come. You know, the devil destroyed. Drugs, addiction, homelessness, crime, all these blights, you know, Satan's kingdom crumble, God's kingdom increase, of love and friendship and community and salvation and healing and restoration and reconciliation, all these wonderful things of the kingdom. And Jesus says to them, the last thing here, he says, I give you authority, but he says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice your names are written in heaven. We don't get our identity or our significance from our ministry. We get it from Jesus. And that's really important for us to catch hold of. It's the joy of this is like we belong to Jesus. It's not whether you're at St. Michael's or St. Mary's or whether you're on the next plant or not. Or, you know, it would be easy to start comparing ourselves to other people. And let's just do away with comparison, do away with all of that rubbish. All you need to do is rejoice that your name is written in heaven, and you do what Jesus wants you to do, and go for it. Be wholehearted, even if it's difficult. Just go for it, and there will be a joy in it. And that's I wanted to print it all out. You can have a look at it later. The joy of that is in the whole spread of it, rather than in looking at one verse, because you see a sort of sense of the story of Jesus here. And so we are a church, and someone said this to me last week, being a church where we're comfortable and uncomfortable. And that's a good place to be. What does this look like, really? And I've just written a list of things, and this is not a checklist. This is not a tick list. It's basically thoughts on what it might look like. Being part of the church family, how do we do this? It's making the church family a priority in our lives. It is having meaningful conversations, building deeper friendships with people. It is about increasing confidence in sharing our faith and working at that. It's, for some of us, it might be offering to serve in some way, or maybe seeing your workplace as your primary place of mission and praying for that, or taking ownership, a real heart for children and youth discipleship, or getting more into your Bible, prayer and worship. Or for some of us, it will be saying, I want to receive prayer ministry, and maybe I need counseling in some way or other, or pastoral help to help me grow in more freedom. I want to get free. For some of us, we'll think, I actually need to sign up for that Leading Together course, or join a life group, or start a life group, multiply your life group, reassess your giving. Or maybe it's also like saying, could you ask someone to mentor you, disciple you, keep you accountable in some area of your life? These are all just practical. It's not exhaustive. There's other things you could say, but just ideas and thoughts as to what it might look like to live it out, and really to reflect on your everyday context, because most of us don't spend all day in church. We spend all day at work, with family, in our home life, in different places, and thinking, what does it look like to be, to multiply churches and leaders and disciples where you are every day? And so, yeah, that's the heart behind this multiplying. And I think we'll probably will be, because this is such an important call on us. You know, it's not the last time we're going to talk about it. But we wanted to introduce it together and see what the Holy Spirit was up to. So this is not the end of the conversation. It's the beginning of the conversation. And we want to keep that going in different ways. So please talk about this in life groups and ask questions if you've got any questions, and write down any prophetic words, because we really want to be listening as a church family what God might be saying to us. So I would love it to be an open process, an inclusive process that people feel they're part of and can speak into. So that's the heart behind it, really. I wonder if we could, would it be all right, Martin, if we sung a song just to close? Should we stand and just, it'd be good to do that together. We're going to sing just to close. And thank you again for coming. And please let's continue in this journey together. Let's just sing as we close.